Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm your host. So happy to be here as always. Today is an advanced review for a documentary hitting Netflix. It is hitting Netflix tomorrow. We apologize due to some scheduling and holiday stuff and a family emergency. We couldn't quite get to it a couple days earlier like we were supposed to, so we do apologize. As always, we're thankful to Falco, Courtney, all that team for getting us this great stuff. Netflix, of course. This documentary is titled Struggle, The Life and Lost Art of Stukalski. You'll spell that S-Z-U-K-A-L-K-S-K-I. He is Polish, and this will be on Netflix. Let's see, it's going to come out in a couple hours, so this is still advanced. We're on East Coast time. Of course, everything comes out Palo Alto time. So this film, what I loved about it, we're going to do the review the way the film was, which the film is just a great portrait of a life told through the artists, some pop artists of the 60s and 70s. One was Anna Dobrowski, Rose Sharon Palid. Sorry, I do have an eye issue, and sometimes I read these things a little wrong. Glenn Bray, Susan Williams, George DiCaprio. Again, this film is produced by Leonardo DiCaprio. This documentary was so awesome because it really just encapsulated everything that art is. When you kind of go a lot deeper into art, when you kind of realize that everything is created from love, hate, your opinions, your likes, your dislikes, what turns you on, your favorite album, maybe an album that makes you mad or you don't like. Maybe you take your dislike for Justin Bieber and you paint. A very interesting story because it says here in the synopsis, so I'm not giving it anything away, but one of the pop artists, I want you guys to see this. So things where I don't say the name, it's not that I'm unprepared. It's that I want you guys to check this out. This is for any kind of artist, whether you're a painter, a sculptor, a filmmaker, especially, you got to check this out. This guy, Glenn, finds this postcard in 60s Hollywood, and it turns out that this artist that he gets turned on to is a guy that he finds in the phone book living in the valley. Now, for those of you that don't live in the valley, film fans, you'll be most understand what it is because it's featured in Boogie Nights. The San Fernando Valley is a joke for people that say they don't have time to go over the hill if they live in LA. But the San Fernando Valley just is what it is, what it is. And that's really what this film did, was this film kind of just took every aspect of this life and just kind of let it be. Whether there was parts where maybe we're going to think he was a real son of a bitch. And, you know, I'm tired of holding back that right now in a time where it's art versus someone a son of a bitch. And maybe this film shows you that we jump to our own conclusions before we really have the answer, or we think we have the answer. My grandpa used to say, the thought you thought wasn't the thought you thought you thought. So anyways, that makes sense as I get older. So this film was, I really want to commend DiCaprio's company, and this features his father, great interview with his father. For taking the time to look back at this artist, who I just think it's hilarious that they found him. I'm sitting here with one of our executive producers, Carolyn, my mother. So it was kind of nice to watch this, and that it was produced by my father and son. And it was just so funny in the day and age we live, that they found this guy who was this revered artist of the 20s who had went through the turbulent times of World War II and had been forgot about. That's what the film is called, Struggle, the Lost Art and Life of. And I just found him in the phone book. Like, it made me think, like, as a filmmaker and a film lover, being like, could we really just look in the phone book and call up Martin Scorsese or call up Brad Pitt or George Clooney and be like, oh, hey, I like acting, and they're just going to invite you over. And for me, what was interesting was it showed truly how much had changed to alter the basic human nature of art, that now there has to be security cameras, there has to be bodyguards, there's paparazzis bugging people, that prevents it from, say, Martin Scorsese letting film students just come and hang out, anything, not expect his endorsement, and just be about what were your experiences in New York, these were my experiences, you were born in 1942, I was born in 1979.
See, I think that's interesting that you're saying that, Paul, because I think that that's still available to us. I think that's part of this story of artistry. I believe that there's no coincidences, and I think that, you know, from a series of events that happen, from I forgot his name. Who's the gentleman? The gentleman that found the first book.
Oh, Glenn Bray, yeah.
Yeah, Glenn Bray that found the first book, and then through a series of events, came across this postcard or came across the poster at the place. I mean, there was a series of events, and I think that if we were to all really just sit and think about our own life stories, there are certain events that happen that do change the course of our events, of our life, and they are connected more than we think. And this particular artist, this wasn't about any kind of certain path, because in one of the places when his talent was recognized, he was going to an art school and they wanted him to do his art a certain way, and he said no thank you and left, instead of causing havoc, which I think right now the world can be in a position where it seems like you have to cause havoc to have a difference of opinion. So in reference to what you first said about maybe Mr. Scorsese that can't do or be interviewed by a student, I think that's not true. I think it happens and we just don't hear about it. I think that people maybe run into him and he has conversations, but he doesn't have to publicize it. In this time, we think that if information is out there, it has to be publicized a certain way, or communicated a certain way, or you know, mass-produced a certain way. And I don't think that's so. I think.
Oh yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, that is that. Yeah, that is a good way. I what I was alluding to was the if you came across his phone number, you wouldn't be able to go to his apartment in New York. Like, there would be a process of PR and have mutual associates. And
right,
like,
and I think...
So that's all I was alluding to. I wasn't alluding that he's not still human. And, I mean, even, you know, at the show, we got to sit down with people that
right.
we were...
No,
they're
I,
just
I think
shocked
what you're
that...
saying is that you're just... That's a time passed of, like, looking in the phone book. It doesn't matter whether it was a phone book or the internet or just, you know, people... silence. If that was meant for that to happen and those two people to be found, that was they found each other so that they can then express their beliefs and the full circle moment that has happened.
Yeah, that's what's really amazing about this documentary. There was a beyond crazy full circle moment that of course we're not going to talk about because you got to watch the documentary. The full circle moment is just craziness. I could relate to it in way, but if I spoke of it, it would kind of give away what it was. But I think it was just, it made me think of, I almost wanted to get on the mic and just ramble a bunch of words and say, that's what life is, that's my review. But I knew that there had to be some point that you guys are listening to. So again, you can go and check this out on Netflix. It's out, or it'll be out tomorrow. And really pay attention to this. And I really admired the film, actually, that it didn't have DiCaprio in it, because I feel that would have distracted. I thought it was brilliant that he produced it. And I mean, we all know there's marketing, there's the hook, there's keeping people interested. He's a great documentarian. I mean, he does all kinds of stuff for the world, but I personally really enjoyed his father having kind of a more understanding, because this was kind of about that artistic thing that they call fathers and sons, where, you know, B.B. King taught Eric Clapton, and bluesmen taught rock and rollers.
Well, it's mentorship.
Mentorship.
It's
so
responsibility to pass on. I think that's, you know, I didn't expect to see Mr. DiCaprio, and I hadn't even remembered that this was one of his productions, but I think that speaks to his artistry that he wants to pass on, and he takes his responsibility seriously to pass on what he's learned and what using his form of art to express what another artist did. It was a very interesting documentary. There's so many angles.
Because there's also the hit by featuring his father, he's also giving to his father.
Even though
the world, it's the other way around.
Well, there's interesting too. There's some similarities to, or there's some actually, what do I want to say? So almost like some projections or some predictions by this artist. And those things are actually kind of, you could attach them to modern day of what.
Yes.
Very interesting. It's a very beautiful, beautifully done documentary, I felt.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
I wanted it to go on more, but then there was times when I felt like it was a little too long. But then when it was over, I'm like, wait, it can't be over.
Right, but it wasn't in a boring way. It was just that the documentarian did such a good job of where you just kind of had to wait for the tie-off, which, you know, is really fantastic.
It's a good form. Yeah, exactly.
I think we'll leave it at that, because we've given a good time now. And as always, we thank Courtney Falco. We thank all these artists involved. And again, everyone, get on Netflix. Check this out. The Life and Lost Art of Zulkalski.
Beautiful. A must.
All right. You know how I always end. Make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.
Bye. Thank you, Paul, for having me.